Dear Cheap Astronomy, are the new habitable zone TRAPPIST-1 planets really habitable? The February 2017 announcement that there were seven Earth-sized planets around the star TRAPPIST-1 created a bit of a media frenzy. First, there were seven exoplanets around one star. All of them were roughly Earth-sized. Their density suggested most of them were rocky, and the three in the middle were right in the habitable zone of the star, defined as the temperature zone in which water can exist in fluid phase. And we're almost neighbours, apparently. TRAPPIST-1 is only 40 light-years away, a mere 378 trillion kilometres. TRAPPIST-1 is about the size of Jupiter, but about 84 times as massive. That huge density driving hydrogen fusion at its core, so it is a proper main sequence star. It's known as an ultra-cool dwarf, and no doubt it is totally awesome, but really ultra-cool just means it's a red dwarf that's on the smallish side. In fact, with our current technology, the only Earth-sized exoplanets you are likely to find in habitable zones are in red dwarf systems. This is because you have a system with a small diameter, low mass star with its habitable zone very close in. If we studied the Sun from 40 light years away, there's no way we'd be able to detect the Earth with our current exoplanet spotting technologies. Earth's size and mass relative to the Sun are minuscule, and Earth orbits a long way out, compared with the TRAPPIST-1 planets, whose orbits are all closer to their Jupiter-sized star than Mercury's orbit is to the Sun. It's still the case with exoplanets that we are just discovering what we can discover. Around stars as big or bigger than the Sun, we are mainly finding hot Jupiters, because we'd struggle to detect anything smaller or further out. So any Earth-like planets in habitable zones are turning up around red dwarfs. Not because that's where they all are, but because that's where we can detect them. The first Earth-sized planet ever found, Kepler-10b, was orbiting a G-type, sun-like star, but was so close in, it orbited its star in less than a day, and so couldn't possibly have supported life. The first Earth-sized planet in a habitable zone, Kepler-186f, discovered in 2014, was orbiting a red dwarf. The chances of the habitable zone TRAPPIST-1 planets actually supporting life depends upon all the usual issues associated with red dwarf systems. The habitable zone of a red dwarf system is so close to the star that planets in that zone are all tidally locked, so one side is always hot and the other side is always cold. So any Goldilocks zones on the surface are likely to be around the day-night boundaries. Furthermore, underwater or underground may be the best environments to support life. Assuming there is an atmosphere, the light side dark side heat gradient will generate constant gale force winds. And there are doubts about whether we can assume there will be an atmosphere, since the tidally locked planets won't have protective magnetic fields, which are only generated by fast planetary rotation. And being so close in, red dwarf planets in the habitable zone will be subject to all the irregular stellar outbursts common to red dwarfs, which are all variable stars. Furthermore, the dominant peak starlight from red dwarfs is in the infrared, apart from those irregular outbursts of UV and X-ray. Such infrared starlight could not support photosynthesis as we know it, although photosynthesis as we know it has been engineered by evolution to exploit our sun's particular spectral range, which of course peaks in visible light. So certainly no one is ruling out the possibility of life in red dwarf systems, although they do seem to present a pretty challenging environment for life to get started in, and they may not be the sort of places we'd particularly want to colonise either. Has been evolutionarily engineered by evolution